Every day, thousands of students are silenced. They are silenced by fear. They are silenced for being who they are. They are friends. They are classmates. They are brothers. They are sisters. They are gay. They are straight. They are you. They are me. They are silenced by anti-lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender bullying and harassment. On April 25th, their silence will be heard around the country. Hundreds of thousands of students will participate in the National Day of Silence. This year, the Day of Silence is dedicated to the memory of Lawrence King, a 15-year-old from California who was shot and killed by a classmate while sitting in class. Friends say he was murdered because he was gay. Whoever they are, whatever their backgrounds or beliefs, these students will take action because they believe that the bullying and harassment must end. What are you going to do to end the silence?
Greetings, and you are listening to WRG 89.3 FM, your station for progressive information. And this is Alternative Perspectives, produced by Betty Couvertier and contributions by Andre Holmes, Dion Bates, LaCara Foster, and Ghetto Gospel. Alternative Perspectives is the voice of the GLBTQI community and our allies. The focus being the issues that affect the GLBTQI community, social, economic, religious, and political, to educate and inform about the lives of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex, and queer, and questioning community, and find the common humanity that connects us all. Opinions expressed on WRFG do not necessarily represent the opinions of Radio Free Georgia Broadcasting Foundation, Inc., its staff, or volunteers. And now for the sneak peek.
Good evening. You're listening to WRFG's Alternative Perspectives. I'm Dion Bates. Tonight, Training Chair Rebecca Staple Wax will join us to talk about G-Saga and their efforts to develop more community resources for LGBT seniors. Also in the studio will be Atlanta Pride Executive Director Donna Narducci, who will give us a Pride 2008 update. Ghetto Gospel will have a special report, and as always, we will bring you SOVO News with Diana Bagby, as well as your national and international headlines. So, without further ado, sit back, relax. Alternative Perspective starts right now.
Diana, you there?
Hey, yes, I am.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you, Betty?
Good, good. What you got for us?
All right, here are some headlines from Southern Voice newspaper. Admission is still free, but for the first time in its history, Atlanta Pride will charge nominal fees to a few events at the annual festival. Atlanta Pride was forced out of Piedmont Park due to the state's drought and had to move the date of Pride to the July 4th weekend and relocate it to the Atlanta Civic Center. It will cost Atlanta Pride between $60,000 to $80,000 to rent the Civic Center. Organizers say right now it's expected there will be an approximate $5 fee to watch the closing Starlight Cabaret and a possible $20 to $25 fee for an opening night concert. Both of these events have been moved to indoor facilities at the Civic Center. And after being run out of rural North Carolina by opponents not amused with a lesbian campground named Camp Lickalotta and its planned Bushstock 08 Music Fest, the founders of the controversial event have found a home in Dahlonega, Georgia. Nancy Leedy and Joni Beasley, founders of Camp Lickalotta, have signed a contract with the owners of the Etowah River Campground, located about 1 hour north of Atlanta, to hold Bushstock 08 at their site May 16th through May 18th. The couple got national coverage because of the camp's name, which they say means look a lot of prejudice, look a lot of pollutants, and look a lot of pessimism. And finally, Morehouse Safe Space, a gay student group at the historically black private school, is organizing a week of activities through April 26 aimed at increasing awareness of homophobia and heterosexism at Morehouse. Dubbed the No More, No Homo initiative, the week-long campaign also seeks to eradicate one of the most commonly used epithets gay students encounter at the all-male college. One of the large challenges remaining at Morehouse is combating casual homophobia that manifests in terms like no homos allowed in parties, student organizations, and friendship circles. And those are the headlines from Southern Voice newspaper. For more information on these stories as well as others, check us out at www.sovo.com.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. All right. See you next week.
All right.
Bye-bye. Okay, and that was your Sovo News. And as you heard at the beginning of the show, the Day of Silence is on the 25th of this month. And the National Day of Silence brings attention to the anti-LGBT name-calling, bullying, and harassment in schools. This year's event will be held in memory of Lawrence King, a California 8th grader who was shot and killed on February the 12th of this year by a classmate because of his sexual orientation and gender expression. Hundreds of thousands of students will come together on April 25th to encourage schools and classmates to address the problem of anti-LGBT behavior. National and international news.
In our look around the nation, Janet Jackson will be presented the Vanguard Award by Ellen DeGeneres at the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation's 19th Annual Media Awards at Hollywood's Kodak Theater. Jackson is in good company. Past recipients have included Charlize Theron, Elizabeth Taylor, Jennifer Aniston, Whoopi Goldberg, Antonio Banderas, and Liza Minnelli. When asked why she thought she was getting the Vanguard Award from GLAAD, Janet responded that she had done a lot of work with AIDS, and also she credited the support that she's given the gay community over the years and that she was extremely excited by the honor.
Obama addresses attempt to ban gay marriage in Pennsylvania. A 15-month campaign comes down to the last critical 48 hours before the Pennsylvania primary, where this race will either come to its end or be propelled all the way to the Democratic convention. On Sunday in Reading, Barack Obama said on a local issue he has had so far been reluctant to take on, legislation pending in Harrisburg that would ban gay marriage in the Commonwealth, "If I were in the state legislature, I would oppose it." Obama's silence on the proposed amendment to the state's constitution has proven worrisome to local gay rights groups who have largely thrown their support behind Hillary Clinton, and just 2 days before the primary, he made his position clear. "I'm not in favor of gay marriage, but I certainly don't want to see a court suggesting that somehow we can't pass laws that say gays and lesbians aren't being discriminated against," Obama said.
In our nation's capital, the United States Attorney's Office on April 17th dropped an assault charge against a Georgetown University student who had been accused by D.C. police of physically attacking a fellow Georgetown student last fall while shouting anti-gay slurs at him. Police on September 27th charged Philip Cooney, then a 19-year-old Georgetown sophomore and the son of a former White House official, with simple assault, a misdemeanor, in connection with the September 9th gay bashing.
Arizona resurrects constitutional amendment banning marriage. Human Rights Campaign is expecting that an Arizona state constitutional amendment against same-sex marriage, once thought dead, will be resurrected by the state legislature and sent to voters this November. Marty Rouse, HRC's national field director, said his organization is working hard with its legislative allies to defeat the amendment in the legislature, but HRC still expects the amendment to come before referendum. "We can expect this November a pure marriage ban will be on the ballot," he said. Prospects for the measure initially faded April 3rd when the House amended the measure so that it would affirm some rights to gay couples as well as ban same-sex marriage. The amendment, approved with a vote of 28-27 and sponsored by Representative Kyrsten Sinema, states that gay couples in Arizona have the right to health care facility visitation, medical decision-making, funeral and burial arrangements, and inheritance.
Opponents of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy have released information that show that the Army and the Marine Corps, under pressure to increase their numbers, have sharply raised the number of recruits who have felony convictions. The information released Monday shows that the number of soldiers admitted to the Army with felony records jumped from 249 in 2006 to 511 in 07, and the number of Marines with felonies rose from 2008 to 350. In the 10 years that Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been in force, more than 10,000 personnel have been discharged as a result of the policy, including 800 with skills deemed mission critical, such as pilots, combat engineers, and linguists. The number of gay men and lesbians turned away by militant recruiters is unknown.
In an international headlines, feisty gay bookstore that fought Canada Customs up for sale. They've been bombed three times, received death threats, and stood before the red-robed justices of the Supreme Court of Canada. No, Jim Deva and Bruce Smythe are not killers or terrorists. The soft-spoken Vancouver men sell books. And in some people's eyes, Deva says, that made the gay owners of Little Sisters Book and Art Emporium dangerous.
The Vatican's point man in anti-gay crusades has recently passed away. Cardinal Alfonso Lopez Trujillo, the man in charge of leading the attack on same-sex marriage and use of condoms to fight HIV/AIDS, died Monday in a Rome hospital. He was 72. A hardliner who was president of the Pontifical Council for the Family, Trujillo frequently spoke out against the legalization of same-sex marriage and criticized governments in those countries that passed marriage equality legislation. In 2006, under his direction, the council issued a 57-page document in which it said the traditional family has never been so threatened as in today's world. It also lashed out against contraception, abortion, and in vitro fertilization.
Mob ransacks Rome Gay Center. Rome police are searching for members of a mob of youths who burst into the city's LGBT center, ransacking the building. The attack on Mario Miele Homosexual Cultural Circle occurred Thursday night while members were in the building. The gang of youths yelled anti-gay and anti-Semitic slogans. As they ran off, the gang yelled praises for Benito Mussolini, Italy's wartime dictator. "We fear that this situation is linked to the electoral climate," the association said in a statement. Rome is in the midst of a mayoral runoff between rightist and leftist candidates. Fascist and Nazi youth have stepped up their visibility since the election.
Thanks, Dion. Colombia's Constitutional Court has ruled that the government must extend pension benefits to same-sex partners. The court ruled that same-sex marriage partners must be given the same pension and health benefits as opposite-sex married partners receive. The ruling said that to exclude same-sex partners would violate the principle of non-discrimination and human dignity as the expression of personal autonomy protected by international law. And that concludes our news wrap for this week. I'm Andre Holmes.
And I'm Dion Bates.
Thank you. And we'll be right back.
This is Ghetto Gospel with the Same Gender Marriage Blast. Currently, same-gender couples are entitled to all of the state-level rights and benefits of marriage in Massachusetts. In addition, same-gender couples in New Jersey, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Connecticut are able to enter into state-level civil unions. And there are broad domestic partnership laws in California and Oregon. In New York, after a 2008 court ruling, valid out-of-state marriages of same-gender couples must be legally recognized. In Utah, domestic partners began registering their relationships with the City of Salt Lake on Thursday. The registry was unanimously approved by City Council in February. The Mutual Commitment Registry is open to adult unmarried couples who live together in an interdependent relationship. The Polk County, Iowa Attorney's Office had filed a response to legal documents opposing the state's ban of same-gender marriage. The county attorney caused a friend of the court brief filed by marriage equality proponents and Massachusetts lawmakers in admissible hearsay remarks. The brief was filed in support of Lambda Legal, which filed a 2005 lawsuit that resulted in a Polk County ruling that Iowa's same-gender marriage ban was unconstitutional. Religious leaders and community members demonstrated this past week at an Atlantic post office to highlight the tax inequalities same-gender couples experience because they are unable to marry. Members of the local press, including Atlanta's CBS affiliate, covered the event. In Colorado, the trial of a lesbian couple who attempted to marry has been postponed until early May. Defendants Kate Burns and Sheila Schroeder refused to leave the Denver clerk and recorder's office after being denied a marriage license. The judge in the case has said he has other trials that has priorities. Supporters of a Illinois measure to define marriage as only between a man and a woman are in the final stages of signature gathering. They have until May the 5th to get more than 270,000 signatures. If they achieve their goal, a non-binding referendum proposing a state constitutional ban on same-gender marriage would appear on the November ballot. Idaho News, and I don't mean the state, International Day Against Homophobia. Montreal, March the 5th, 2008, International Day Against Homophobia Foundation Emergence, the pioneer of this event, is launching its annual campaign against homophobia for the year 2008, entitled Homosexuality is Not a Sickness. This new campaign, which will reach its high point on May 17th when the day is held, aims to reach health care workers as a priority. Also, it was on May 17, 1991, that the World Health Organization removed homosexuality from its list of mental illness. Unfortunately, though, prejudice is deep-rooted, since some people still think that being gay or lesbian is a mental disorder, while others mistakenly believe that homosexuality can be cured. The International Day Against Homophobia, held on May 17th every year, is a rallying event offering an opportunity for people to get together and reach out to one another. This is Ghetto Gospel, and that is all for the Same Gender Marriage Blast.
Thank you, Ghetto Gospel.
You're
welcome. Okay, again, we have a MTV Shot at Love set, 3 DVDs of the first season uncensored. Okay, and we have two sets in the house, and the first $89.30 can get one of those sets, the first two. That matter, okay, and you can call 404-523-8989. Okay, our scheduled guest is not in the house yet, but I expect she will be. In the meantime, have a little chat check with my little production team here. Andre, Dion, Ghetto Gospel, and we have Lisa in the house, who is Ghetto Gospel's partner. Hi, Lisa. Alrighty. And I said to the production team, let's talk about high gas prices. They all laughed. Yeah.
It's high.
I mean, it's like, I don't know what folks are doing out there, you know, but it's like I'm limiting my trips in the car. That's, you know, and I'm wondering how that's going to affect. This is something I'm going to address my psychologist over here. How does Dr. Bates.
I'm being just as affected as everybody else.
Yeah, but I'm going to ask you about the psychological effects to people who can't leave their home because they can't afford to.
Well, you know, as the weather gets hotter, they may not want to leave at home. If they like me and don't have air in their car, they may want to stay at home.
I mean, I've been thinking the last couple of days, you know, that this has got to affect people eventually, you know, because there's a lot of people and there's a lot of talk about it on the news, and people are saying that, you know, they're cutting back. They're cutting back. I know for myself, I have cut back a lot. I have conference calls instead of going to meetings, okay? And I don't recreate as often as I used to, you know? And everything is timed and budgeted, okay? Yes. And that has to have psychological effects on folks, you know? And I'm wondering how that's going to show itself.
Well, I think for most people, I know at least for myself, what they want to do is try to save. It's definitely hitting people financially.
Mm-hmm.
And so people have to come up with new and creative ways in order to get around. You know, I'm sure more people are taking MARTA. or if you live like where I live out in Clayton County, the C-Tran.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing more and more bikers.
Yeah.
More people are carpooling. And the reality is that many people are having to make a really hard decision behind whether or not they're going to actually travel across town and how many times they're going to travel across town. And so people are going to, you know, they have to really start making some really hardcore decisions and start becoming a little bit more creative in how they get around these days. I know earlier this spring, when I had considered playing softball, one of the biggest issues that people had was going to practices a couple of times a week and then having to travel all the way out to Metro Park and because of the gas prices. And so the coach mm-hmm. of the team was talking about the possibility of trying to carpool and they even talked about cutting back practices.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is our reality right now. And we just have to do what we have to do to survive.
To survive. I mean, that gets difficult, you know, and I consider myself kind of fortunate, you know, in having a limited income pension that's steady. It comes in as long as I'm breathing. But unfortunately, pension...
Oh, you got a pension?
Yeah. As long as, you know, the pension doesn't go up every time prices go up, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like I have limited income.
Right.
And it just seems that every time something goes up, now food is going up. I'm noticing food is going
yeah.
up. It's probably been going up for a while, yeah. but I've just recently noticed that...
Well, you know, when the
things that I buy are going up.
When the cost of living starts going up, then you become a little bit more aware of where your money is going.
Exactly.
And so, you know, when you were paying $3 for a loaf of bread before, you may not have really noticed it, but then when you started looking into your budget and realized that there was a little less money, then you started becoming a little bit more aware of that $3
of why you have a little less money at the end of the month. Ghetto Gospel, you wanted to say something?
Yes, I wanted to say that I have a problem with some of the gas station owners. They are taking advantage of the people, with everything going on, the economy and everything, and they're hiking up the price extra. It's high already.
Yeah. Surprisingly enough, this morning, I got up early this morning because I had a 9 o'clock meeting to go to. So I was watching the news at 7 o'clock in the morning, okay? And they were investigating on, I guess it was CNN that I had on, and they had sent out folks to question gas owners, you know, gas station owners.
And a lot of them would not show up. They wouldn't respond
they won't
to
come,
the media
right,
or anything.
Because some of them in Midtown are like $3.89. You know, where I live, that's $3.49 now. $3.49.9. So that's, I guess that's $3.50. Yeah. You know what I mean? Since I can't get that, you know, that 1/10 of a penny back. But anyway, we're talking about it because this is one of the topics that we all have in common, whether you're gay, straight, black, white, you know, Baptist, Hindu, Muslim, Jewish, Catholic, whatever, you know.
Finally, unity
you
in
know,
the
unity
land.
In the land, because we're all paying for the higher prices,
yes.
Okay? So I think it's a common cause that we all can get together and do something about if we all decided to do that, okay? And we don't have to get into our personal lives to do that, you know, because we're all, like, affected by it, okay? But anyway, our guest is here, Donna Narducci, the Executive
Yay.
Director of Atlanta Pride.
Yes,
hey!
Yes, hard worker,
hey, you
hard
guys.
Worker.
Hey, hey, Donna, you're here.
I am here. How are you?
I am
queer.
Okay, I like that.
yes, Dion, my personal driver.
All right. The last time you were
look,
here, right, you gained
know,
a personal driver.
I didn't
driver.
Forget.
No, I have not forgotten.
You might have one of them Segways to drive, though.
Look, that's okay. I think we can both fit on one.
On one, yeah. You know, yes, I think so. You know,
I have one of those goofy little horns.
How are you doing?
Good. I'm great. How are you guys? I was listening to y'all on the way over. It sounds great. The new transmitter.
Oh, okay.
Really
good.
Boosts the signal. You come through really nice and
say
clear.
It loud. Say it
nice.
Loud.
Yeah.
Tell it. It sounds
and
good.
And I thought when I got here, when you talked about things going up, I thought the donations for WRFG were going to start going up. Isn't that phone supposed to be ringing off
it's
the hook?
It's supposed to be. We have incentives, too.
Uh-huh.
We have that.
I heard that.
The DVD, you know, of an yeah. MTV show, the first uncensored season.
Uh-huh.
There's three DVDs. You know, they tell me it's a popular thing out there because it deals with both lesbian, bisexual, and, you know, the LGBT. You know what I mean?
Well, right on. Uncensored LGBT
yes.
for $89.30.
And all right, Donna.
Deal.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, we got some news. What you got for us, Donna? What's happening with Pride this
well,
year?
Well, you know, it was interesting. Listening to the show on the way over, I thought, you know what? With all this news, you know, and most of it not really very uplifting, all the more reason why we need our pride.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
We need our pride in June, and we need our pride on Labor Day weekend. Right, Henri?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We need to be there. We need to have these events. It's interesting, too, that our event this year coincides with Independence Day for the United States, but that wasn't by choice, and it was because the date that was available for use of the Civic Center. But, you know, I think it really brings special meaning to the whole weekend for everybody because while we may be citizens here in the United States, most of us really feel like we're second-class citizens. So how powerful to have our voice be heard and our visibility be strong on Independence Day weekend.
Yeah.
I
it's
mean,
also
I think that's
I was
really
thinking
important.
When
I think,
it was
yeah.
first announced, it was July the 4th, and
right.
I said, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and an election year, no less, too.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think the significance of it is even greater.
Right.
You know, because it's just, you know, it encompasses everything.
Because we can't stop. I mean, you get two steps ahead, and then some other knucklehead state decides to have an anti-gay
right.
marriage amendment.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Or
I mean, every time we make a step forward.
More people are losing their jobs. Or, hey, right. let's have prisoners instead of gay people in the Army.
Yeah.
I mean, well, nothing against prisoners, you know? Okay, I won't talk about the prison system and how,
yeah, yeah.
you know, racial
I mean,
profiling
you know.
Goes on and people are in there that shouldn't be, but, you
but
know.
But the point is that they're taking the felons in and
right.
letting go of the, you know, the
right.
gay and lesbian soldiers and because they're gay and lesbian,
right.
you know? And that, I think, is very unfair.
Yep.
I mean, you know.
We have trained linguists,
and they,
you know,
and
the
trained.
People
right.
that they need
yes.
to translate the language. In Iraq, they have so many translations where they have to translate like 3 or 4 times for it to even get to English. And to boot those brave people out the military because of their orientation, come on, we really have to question the leaders yeah, of this country.
It's just wrong the way they
put in felonies.
It's not to say that everybody doesn't deserve a second chance and stuff like that, but you know, it's still like the scales are not even here, you know, because if they're getting rid of the GLBT because they're GL,
right.
You know.
But personally, but still, I don't want a felony person fighting an American war for me, because our soldiers are out there. My son, he did the military for 5 years, and they grow up with values, mm-hmm. and you know, you have someone who has a felony record. I read that they have people who are, you know, do all sorts of crimes, and if they do crimes on our home territory in America, on state level, now we're giving them a rifle to go overseas in the name of America.
And,
yeah. That's frightening.
And actually, that's right. And actually kill people.
Right.
You know,
right.
And legally.
Right.
Well, it's, you know, everything is, you know, everything just seems to be upside down, and how people react to things and how they do things, and you know, even in my own community, you know, yeah. and how the transgender community has been left out of the ENDA, you know, with the equal,
the non-equal equal.
Yeah, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, you know. In
the
Washington,
unequal
D.C.
Employment Non-Discrimination
Yeah, the unequal one. You know, it just seems that everything is upside down. And the people that we have, you know, we confide in and trust to do the work for us are not doing it. And I specifically talk about HRC, you know,
sure.
the Human Rights Campaign, who is, you know, really had the responsibility for, you know, the GLBT community in Washington, D.C., as our lobbyists and as those who speak for us as a community. And the mission statement says GLBT. It doesn't say T only when convenient. You know what I mean?
Donna, one of the things Betty mentioned just a minute ago was reactions to people. And I was just thinking that, you know, earlier on, you guys got a lot of flack from people because Pride had to be moved from Piedmont Park. How are attitudes now with regards to where Pride has been moved and when Pride is going to take place this year?
Well, we're still getting a lot of not very happy feedback, I guess I should say. I think...
Are you being politically correct?
No, not so much
politically. Very diplomatic.
Well, ghetto yeah. gospel not politically correct. I'm going to tell you, when I pass out flyers, you know, they jump on Atlanta Pride, and I jump back because I think that Atlanta Pride... You guys worked so hard, and given what you were given, you did great. And a lot of people, they don't get it. You know, it's all major events are right. not in the park. And right. to just try to hurry up and run your feet and do what you do, Atlanta Pride did a really good job. I just wish that the community can just, you know, understand and join with us, and together let's go with this fight. Stop bickering over small things. Mm-hmm. I don't care if they had it at... what's that park by our house? Lennox Park or something. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, as long as we come together in unity in one place and just remember Stonewall and everything that mm-hmm. Pride is about. It's not right. about the location or the biggest party there is, you know. Let's
it's
celebrate.
About community. I mean, yes. you're absolutely right. By the way, y'all, that was not a paid advertisement on behalf of Ghetto Gospel.
No, these are the words and lyrics of Ghetto Gospel.
She's dead bang on. You know, it's interesting. What popped in my mind when you were saying that is, how often have we heard in church, church is not the,
exactly.
you know, the building,
yes,
church
the
is
building,
the, people.
The people.
Pride is not
in your
the
heart,
area
you know
that
what
it's
I'm saying?
Held in. Pride is in your heart, and pride is the event that draws everybody together wherever that event takes place.
Y'all could come to my house. Everybody, y'all welcome.
Have a big party at Ghetto Gospel.
Yes.
I think, you know, some folks after the Dogwood Festival just experienced their event, and that was held at Lenox Mall, mm-hmm. and they were really hampered by the weather. But mm-hmm. a lot of people just weren't real hep about an arts festival being held in a parking lot. But then talking to a lot of those folks, they really liked it because the way the layout was very easy to get around. It was wide in between the booths and everything like that. You know, there's always going to be people complaining, but as Ghetto Gospel has said, and Dion and Andre, Betty, you know, we have done the best we can given what we've been given. And to kind of tag on to what Diana Bagby read earlier on the Southern Voice News, yeah, for the first time ever, there will be some events happening at the festival this year that we will have nominal charges for. But, you know, again, we are committed to never having Pride be inaccessible, there's an IN in front of that, to people because of financial status.
Right.
We are committed to keeping the event free. However, particularly this year, it is coming at a huge cost to produce this event. And as Laura Douglas Brown said in her editorial, Pride has never been free. You've just never had to pay for it.
Right.
You know, and that's true. So for the Starlight Cabaret to be held inside in the auditorium of the Civic Center, ticket prices range between $2 and $5.
Okay.
One of the questions that Sovo posed this week was, with the Dogwood Festival suffering after having to move out of Piedmont Park, what can we do to make sure Pride doesn't see the same results? Has the Pride Committee thought along those lines after seeing the challenges that the Dogwood Festival has had? And again, as you mentioned, one of the biggest challenges that they had was the weather, because it was absolutely awful that weekend. But, you know, you also mentioned it being in the parking lot of Lenox. And I remember saying to myself, when I heard that it was going to be in the parking lot of Lenox, I did not want to go. And for the 16 years that I've been in Atlanta, I have looked forward to the Dogwood Festival every single year. And I'm like, how are they going to have the dog show in the parking lot?
Yeah, they actually couldn't have the dog show as part of the event because of the location. Well, unlike the Dogwood Festival, we actually will have indoor spaces as part of the event, which was one of the other uniquenesses, if that's a word, about the Civic Center complex. We are able to use the auditorium for some of the events. We're able to use the former Sidetrack building, which is, we're referring to it as the exhibit hall. Mm-hmm. So some of the market will be able to be indoors. Some of the activities that people have been wanting to have, like expanded poetry activities, a center where families can come, we can provide that, and that's indoors. So I wouldn't say 50% of the events are indoors, but I would say when you're talking about space-wise, but there are more indoor activities that we're able to have at this event than we've ever been able to have due to the location that we're in. So I hope that that's going to benefit us in some way, because there have been years where we have been hampered severely by the weather. And with having indoor locations, you know, the show can continue to go on.
I was going to ask, are you all going to still have the Coca-Cola stage and then the little smaller stage?
Yes.
Or will it move inside?
No, we will still have the Coca-Cola stage. And the second stage this year, the naming rights were given to Bud Light for their sponsorship. So we have the Coca-Cola stage and the Bud Light stage, which, by the way, while activities that are... have a fee associated with them, the indoor auditorium events, there will be free events still going on at the other stages.
We have Rebecca on the line, and she is from the GLBT Senior Advisory Committee. Hi, Rebecca. Could you give us your last name and a little bit of your background?
Sure. Hi, everybody. It's Rebecca Staple-Wags. Okay. I work with...
I said it right.
Yay!
we were trying to figure out how to pronounce that when I gave her the name, and she did the sneak peek earlier in the show to let people know what the show was going to include.
Right. Well, two adhesives. You can't forget me now. So I work for the Rainbow Center, which is at Jewish Family and Career Services, but we're one of many, many organizations that are working in collaboration to serve the GLBT older adults or those that are getting older, which is all of us. And what we have been doing over the last 4 years is getting a pulse on the community to find out what our aging needs are. In the last year, we've had 3 town hall meetings, and we run a workshop with clinicians that work with older adults, either in the healthcare field or the social work field, in order to make them much more inclusive of the language that they use and the procedures that they have and the policies and and making sure that people go back in order to get care.
Okay. And who makes up the group right now? How did it start, actually?
Well, it was a funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation for a four-year stint where the Atlanta Regional Commission had been the fiduciary entity, and that just ended at the end of January. Along those 4 years, though, many individuals and agencies around the state have been involved. So there's Aging Atlanta organizations, there's people from Department of Human Resources, from Fulton County, from DeKalb County, certainly from the Atlanta Alliance, Atlanta Lesbian Health Initiative, and Linda Ellis is very much involved. And so it's unique in our gay community to really pull many, many different organizations together because, as it's been said, we are all aging, and we all have this common denominator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that, you know, that we're the existing committee now has sort of kind of kept going. That was the committee that was formed while under ARC, or the Atlanta Regional Commission?
Correct.
And the new committee is now trying to do what?
So there's really an overreaching advisory committee, mm-hmm. which makes up three subcommittees. We are really organizing ourselves at this point where our name is G Saga for the GLBT Senior Advisory Advocacy of Georgia.
And okay, could you repeat that? What's that mean again?
It's G Saga, which is GLBT Senior Advocacy of Georgia.
Okay. And that's .org, and there'll be a website up?
That's right. That'll be gsaga.org, and it'll be live May 1st.
Okay.
It has many different resources and frequently asked questions and opportunities to get involved and or seek information in order to bring back to people's different organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an organizational committee, subcommittee, there's a training and education committee, and there's also an outreach committee, which, Betty, I know you're very familiar with.
Yes. Yeah, I'm chairing that, and we have a committee, and what we're trying to do is get some networking going on.
Right.
And, I have Atlanta Pride here. Atlanta Pride has agreed to join us in that networking, so that's going to be a great outreach effort. And I'm also the outreach chair for Atlanta Pride. So I like combining things. So you have any questions, Donna? Come in and say.
Oh, I was just wondering if y'all were going to have any presence at Pride, if you know if maybe, I'm not pushing this on you, but if you've signed up to have a booth or anything like that where people can get some more knowledge about the organization.
Great question. There are a number of us that have organizations that are definitely having booths. So we're going to be spread out throughout the event.
Okay. So you'll have information for G Saga.
That's correct.
At your booths. That's great. That's great. And we have a tentative date of hopefully being able to do our first networking for June 1st to start the month of Pride out and doing, you know, a big thingy for it.
I just want to say hats off to you, to y'all for moving so quickly to make this happen. I remember it's probably not even been a year when I was first made aware of the initial meeting of interest, the town hall meeting, and I think it drew out something like 200 people that were interested in this topic, and just kudos to everybody who's made this, fast-tracked it, you know.
Wonderful people are involved, very, very committed. We just happened to get out some information about programming that we don't necessarily endorse, but that is there are folks that are interested in helping Atlanta make sure that there are housing opportunities and options. So there's lots of I just heard of a new film called Out Late. There's another film coming out called 10 More Good Years. So an aging conference, a national aging conference, had a track just for LGBT aging issues.
Right. That's going to be in October, right?
There is another one in October.
Oh, okay.
This one was in March in D.C., and they had a track of over 10 different sessions. So this one in October is going to be over 3 days,
right.
Called SAGE.
And that's going to be in New York.
And it's going to be in Manhattan, yes,
yeah.
Or Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn, by the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah.
Rebecca, other than the housing issue, which I know is a huge concern for GLBT seniors, can you just give us an idea about the other kinds of issues that GSAGA is working on with regards
sure.
to trying to get more services or get
uh-huh.
better services for the GLBT seniors?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we do in our training, just to give it a bit more life to you, is to give some empathy training to
mm-hmm.
Clinicians so that they really understand the magnitude. With baby boomers aging at this point in time, it's just going to be an incredible influx of seniors and, of course, GLBT seniors. The issues that come along with folks who have been through the 80s and the 90s with HIV and AIDS-related issues, whether they are continuing to take medication in order to keep their health, or whether or not they have outlived many, many of their brethren. Also, the numbers are astounding of folks that don't have children in order to care for them later in life. It's about 20% of GLBT folks have children that at all. Not saying that they'll take care of them, but and then only 20% of the heterosexual community does not have children. So that statistic makes a whole lot of sense for people to keep their minds open, and that folks have barriers that folks in the straight community do not. So that's one area. What Betty is doing and the networking is making sure that people have access mm-hmm. to care providers or any kinds of needs that they have out in the community, so that that they know what's going on in their community.
Yeah, but the initial outreach will be to find them, to find our seniors and identify them so that they can get the information that they'll need, so that, because there's a lot of seniors out there that don't know, you know, about this, you know?
Absolutely.
So hopefully with the outreach effort, they'll become informed and be able to utilize the services that are being, you know, set up for them.
Do you think it'll be really difficult to find them once the word starts getting out?
Well, I don't know. What do you think, Rebecca?
I think it's just like, you know, the rest of the community. Some people, you know, are very much engaged in their faith community, or that mm-hmm. they read, you know, publications, or that they have a network of people. But a lot of people are in the closet still. Or they've
yeah.
gone back into the closet because
right.
They don't have a partner, or
right.
That they are getting care from somebody that they can't necessarily trust.
Right.
So,
I mean, I think that if we can get the word out there into those places where they might frequent, or where they might read, for instance, you know, the papers or whatever it is that they you know, read, or, you know, and if we keep, like, you know, we'll be back with more news about this in August. Mm-hmm. So as we develop the strategies and whatnot, we'll be able to tell folks, and hopefully they're out there listening. Mm-hmm. And they'll come to the places where we're going to be at, you know, so they can meet other folks like themselves.
I think your biggest issue, which is like it is with most most things, will be trying to get the word to people who are in your rural areas who don't necessarily have the means mm-hmm. or the know-how to be able to get that kind of information, you know.
Right.
Yes. And hopefully, you know, with a really dynamic website, mm-hmm. Even yeah, folks out mm-hmm. there will be able to have some more access.
At least some contact, you know, and some information. Donna, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, my question, Rebecca, is what is the age group that is targeted?
That's great. It really runs the gamut. Some people say, you know, I think AARP signs people up at the age of 50.
Yeah, I know. I just got my card.
Yeah.
And you are excited.
I know. I'm not even 50 yet, and they said
no,
it to me.
It's just an exciting thing, though. You know, it is.
We're mature.
Well, I mean, we're taught to be afraid of age all of our lives. You know what I mean?
Can I get AARP?
No, you got to be 50. You got to be 50. You know, but we're taught to be afraid of it.
Yeah.
You know, we sort of kind of dread it coming on. But, you know, I think it's the most, you know, if you have your health and stuff and you have your vitality and, you know, and you can get about and you be active and all this other kind of stuff. And, you know, that's part of staying active. You need to take care of yourself, you know. But I think it's the greatest thing in the world. I mean, it's just things become so much more clear mm-hmm. about life mm-hmm. itself. You know what I mean?
Well, my curiosity around it was, if it did start at 50, which I'm happy to hear it does, I think probably folks in the age range of 50 to 60, 65 should be fairly easy to target. Beyond
sure.
that,
yeah.
You know, Ghetto Gospel whispered in my ear over here, it may be harder to reach some of the other folks because they're not out.
Right.
And
yes.
so
right.
Will
I
they,
mean, yeah. I mean, yeah. they were, you know, over 40 when Stonewall happened. So,
yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's one of the things that Linda Ellis from the Atlanta Lesbian Health Initiative had mentioned one time, is that when you encounter the older lesbians, I mean, I'm going to, you know, target lesbians that have been in the closet all their lives or are in their own little niches, and they don't use the words like partner or
sure.
lover. You know, it's still my roommate.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I remember the days, you know, when I was younger, when the older crowd used to refer to their lovers and their partners and their wives or whatever as my roommate. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, and it's such a, you know, strange to realize, you know, to learn that there's still folks out there in that niche, you know.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
And then another thing, too, with people in the baby boom ages, technology, there's a lot of them that's not familiar with computers. So to put things in emails and things like that, the percentage of baby boomers using computers, you know, is making our job, you know, a little bit tough. But, you know, we got to be up for the battle because we're here to help.
Yeah,
sure.
You're right.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we can do with GSAGA is to be going to the senior centers across the state. I mean, there's aging partners all over that because we have the mainstream organizations supporting this, that there's the legitimacy in order to bring it everywhere. And like I've just said about the national organizations doing these great big conferences with lots of sessions devoted, that people are going to see that they will encounter people that are LGBT and that it's not something to avoid anymore.
Okay. Rebecca, I want to thank you for taking time to call us and give us the information. And in August, we'll have part two of this.
Excellent.
And maybe yourself or someone else, you know, from the committee will, you know, call us or come in and keep us informed and updated on what is going on out there with the seniors.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care. Good night.
All right.
Good night.
All right. Okay. And that was cool. And the website will be up May 1st. And that is G Saga. That's G as in George. SAGA.org. So go up to the website and see what's cooking. All right. There's a lot of frequently asked questions from what I was told that'll be up there and some other information. Okay. And Donna, any last words about Pride?
Well, I should plug our website, atlantapride.org,
yes. Mm-hmm.
For the most up-to-date information coming forward about the event. And please remind folks, you know, of the new location and the date change and all that kind of stuff. The new location is the Atlanta Civic Center Complex, and the new date is July 4th, 5th, and 6th. And again, as it gets closer to the event, I'm sure folks are going to get excited and want to come out there. Remember, Pride is in your heart. Pride should be in your heart every day. And Pride this year is going to be at the Civic Center.
All right.
And I'll be there because I'll have a little cart to drive around.
Yeah, a Segway. What do they call it? A Segway or whatever they call those things. Okay. All right. Next week, we're going to have Amani Evans of Women Healing Women. And for her, she'll be telling us what she's doing out there in the community. Her organization deals with abused women and providing them with a safe space where they can, as a, you know, a support group. And she is doing some wonderful work out there. And she's recently gotten her grants and whatnot. So, you know, she actually quit her day job.
Wow. Oh,
and this is what, and she's just doing this full time. And it's great because she's been at it for years, and she's
really
a wonderful
has.
Person. And, you know, we're going to hear all about that next week. And I'll have the incentives next week again if somebody decides to call in next week and donate, pledge. For the DVD, 3-set uncensored, MTV shot at Love. Okay, and with that said, I will say good night and buenas noches.